God's house today, isn't it? I appreciate the blessings of the Lord. I was thinking back this Thanksgiving time of year. I'm thankful for a lot of things that I've been blessed. I've been blessed beyond measure. I got a wife, an awesome wife, a good family. God's blessed abundantly. I can look back over my life and all I see is blessings, because that's the tops and the peaks of the mountains is what I see. I want to live on that mountaintop and looking back on and seeing all those good things. Because if I dwell in the valley, I'm going to stay in the valley. I don't want to put up a mailbox, Brother Ryan, in the valley. I want to stay on the mountaintops and worship God. Y'all worship with us while we sing.
I've seen God's people pray by a hospital bed. I've seen them struggling for their daily bread. I've seen them standing at the grave of one who left us too young. And I've heard them crying out for their wayward son. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken.
Their hearts breaking.
I've seen them.
Amen. Let's worship the Lord. Come on, church. Let's magnify the Lord. Amen. He is a faithful God. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We magnify your name this morning. We love you. We praise you. Lord, we worship you and glorify your name. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace and your power in our lives. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. Why don't you turn around and shake your neighbor's hand this morning? Greet them in the house of the Lord. We're serving a faithful God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God for his faithfulness. Thank God for his faithfulness. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Appreciate each and every one being in God's house with us this morning. Amen. If you love the Lord, say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to see each and every one of you in the house of the Lord, and trust you had a wonderful Thanksgiving week. And certainly we thank the Lord for all of his blessings in our hearts, our lives, in the church, our families, our community, our nation as well. Amen. We're a blessed people. And good to see each and every one of you in the house of the Lord. Some first-time guests with us today. Let's let them know we're glad to have them in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Certainly glad to see our visitors with us today, and trust you had a wonderful time with family and all our first-time guests as well. We certainly appreciate you being here today, and especially glad to have Sister Katrina with us. And she is my future daughter-in-law now, so I am very excited about that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 So Beth and I are thankful the way the Lord's moved in Grant's life, and God's has his hand on him and blessed him with a wonderful future wife. And we're just excited to see what the Lord will do in their lives. Amen. The blessings of the Lord. Amen. Amen. You can't put a price tag on it. You just can't quantify all of the peace and the joy and the blessings of the Lord. And John said it well, and I've quoted often, no greater joy than to see that your children walk in truth. That is my prayer, my desire for the Lord, for my family, my wife, myself, my children, and the Lord tarrying generations to come. Amen. Some people have such short-term thinking, just making decisions based on right now what they feel, not realizing what effect that's going to have on their family in a few months, children in a few years, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Amen. I think we need to be legacy thinkers, not only today, but what's going to happen in the future, what's going to happen down the road. Amen. So when we come to the house of the Lord and worship and give, we're not only doing it for our benefit and what is right for our lives, but we're doing it for the generations that are to come. Amen. How many glad for your grandchildren and great-grandchildren that are serving the Lord and going on in the name of the Lord. Amen. So I appreciate God's goodness to my family. I want the deacons to come this morning. We're going to worship the Lord and our giving. Brother Kelly, if you would fill in for Brother Sykes today. Amen. Let's worship the Lord and let's honor him. Thank you for your giving last week during the Thanksgiving offering, and went over $50,000. And we're just thankful for that. And as I said, we sent $5,000 to Brother Mark Compton and his church in Mauriceville, Texas, as they're rebuilding. And just thank the Lord for your giving and how you obeyed the Lord in giving. So we just appreciate the joy of the Lord. Amen. It's a joy to give. Amen. The scriptures are so true. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. But there's something powerful about giving. Notice the Bible said, give and it shall be given. Give and it shall be given. Most of the time we give out of excess. We give out of overflow. We want God or somebody to give to us first, and then we give. But there's something about a giver. They take the initiative. Notice, give, and it shall be given. You and I have to take that initiative to be able to honor the Lord with our giving, and that's what we're doing today. Let's honor the Lord with our tithes, offerings, and as unto the Lord. Brother Jeremy, lead us to the Lord in prayer, if you would, please. Amen. God bless you as you give. song, get ready to sing for us this morning, and let's worship the Lord. As they're coming, let me remind you, we've got about a week left for the Coach for Christmas drive that we're doing, and so that's what the boxes are in the foyer. And if you have some gently used coats, maybe even blankets for children from kindergarten through about fifth grade, sixth grade, various sizes, if they're in good order, if you'll bring those, we're going to take those to Bloomingdale Elementary. So I appreciate what's already been given. The boxes have already been emptied once, and I appreciate those of you that are once again bringing things. So if you do want to go by and buy something gently used somewhere, or find someone in the neighborhood and kind of take it on your initiative, or go down to the store and buy some, that'd be great. Whatever you want to do, we want to be a blessing to those children and work with Bloomingdale Elementary. All right, so give as unto the Lord in that program as well. Let's worship the Lord. How many want to help them sing this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's more than a song, isn't it? That's our theology. Praise God. I'm glad he's alive today. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. How many knows this is the Lord's day because he is alive? Praise the Lord. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, you want to read with me 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, starting at verse number 18. And then I want to read down a few verses into the fourth chapter. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, starting at verse number 18. The Bible says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Amen. God bless you today as you're seated in the house of the Lord. My text is found primarily in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 18. If you don't mind, let me read that again so our minds are focused there. Notice the Bible said, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." There are two things that I believe Paul addresses in this one verse about beholding the glory of the Lord and then becoming all that God intends for us to be. And those two themes I want to talk to you about this morning, and simply beholding and becoming. Beholding and becoming. Notice with me a few things out of this verse I want to point to you today. Three things. The Bible says, "But we all." I don't have time to kind of preach through the whole third chapter of this epistle, but suffice it to say it is this, and that Paul is drawing a strong contrast between the old covenant and the new covenant, between Moses and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you'll remember that Moses, when he went up into the mount of the glory of the Lord, the Bible says that when he descended and came back down to the people of the Lord, the glory of the Lord radiated upon his face. And so he put a veil over his face because the people could not stand to see the glory of the Lord. And so Moses veiled the glory of the Lord. Well, later on in this chapter, it talks about the veil that was upon Moses' face was really a picture that was upon the veil of the hearts of the people of God in the Old Testament. And that veil is ripped away when we turn to Jesus Christ, who is the fulfillment of that old covenant as we come into that new covenant. And it is with that understanding and that mindset that Paul writes in verse number 18. And he said, "But we all, with open face," or an unveiled face, the veil has been taken away from our face, and we can see the Lord Jesus in his glory. We see the Lord Jesus in his majesty, and we're not veiled anymore as they were in the Old Testament. Matter of fact, Paul writes, even to this day when Moses is read, those of the Old Testament or the Old Covenant are still veiled, and they don't see the glory of Jesus Christ. But he contrasts that in verse number 18, and he said, "Well, you and I live a life of contemplation." Notice that he said that we are beholding. He talks about what we're looking at and what we're viewing, and we're viewing the glory of the Lord. Can I remind us this morning just of what we are able to think about and live a life of contemplation, that we're able to behold the glory of the Lord. He starts in verse 18 and he said, "But we all." That it was not a private interpretation that Paul had. It wasn't something that only Paul as a preacher was able to view. But notice, with the inspiration of God's Spirit, Paul invites all of the Corinthians in. And he said, but we all of us as children of God, all of us as partakers of the new covenant, are able to view and see the glory of the Lord. Hey friend, I'm glad for the hour when I stepped out of my pew and went to the altar and I gave my heart and my life to the Lord. That veil of sin, that veil of unbelief, that veil of arrogance was ripped away, and I saw Jesus in His glory. I saw God in His beauty. That veil was just removed, and I saw the fullness of what God wanted out of my heart and God wanted out of my life. Amen. How many remember that hour? Amen. When God removed the scales and the veil from your eyes, and you were able to see the Lord as a Savior and the Lord as a Redeemer and the Lord as the justifier of your life. And so Paul reminds us, he said, we all have this privilege. We all have this opportunity to behold the good things of the Lord. Amen. If you're glad for that this morning, say amen. But not only did he say we all with open face or unveiled face have this opportunity, he said, but notice we are to behold the glory of the Lord. Notice that we are to behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord. It was a few chapters later that Paul warned the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 11:3 that their minds would be deceived by the deception of Satan. And so he warns them about keeping your eyes in the right place. He stresses to them that a child of God must keep their focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. That it would have been, and I paint with a broad brush here from my perspective, but it would have been easy, so it seems, for Paul to have been discouraged or to write at times about all of the wrong that he encountered. That Paul was forsaken by his friends and he was let down by his comrades, and he was abused and mistreated for the gospel's sake. So it would at times seem easy for us to understand if Paul would have talked about how discouraged that he was. But we don't find him writing about being discouraged or even remotely despondent with the things of God. But he's always writing uplifting. He's always writing encouraging. He's always talking about the glory of the Lord. And that is because Paul trained his eyes not to look at the bad things of life, not to look at the people that forsook Christ and walked away from God. But Paul, even in the midst of a Roman prison cell, was able to write in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Why? Because it was Paul that said, I am keeping my eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. I am focused intently. I will not let anybody nor anything distract me from the glory of God that is revealed in Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, friend, this morning, we live in a world full of bad news. We live in a world where it seems like men's hearts even fail them in this time. But I'll also show you people that are resolute, people that are resilient, people that are encouraged today. And the difference is this: I don't let my eyes wander to the things of the world. I'm not distracted by all that dismaying news, but I've got my eyes on Jesus Christ today. I see Him in His glory. I see Him in His power. And I invite you to come with me this morning, and why don't you take another look? Why don't you gaze this morning into the glory of God and see the wondrous beauty of Jesus, your Redeemer, your Savior, your Justifier. Amen. Isn't He lovely this morning? I said He is the image of God. He is the absolute reproduction of the unseen God. You want to be lifted up this morning? Look at Jesus. You want to be encouraged this morning? Look at Jesus. You want to be thrilled in your heart this morning? Look at Jesus. And I say, friend, He is altogether. He is altogether lovely. The Bible warns us about letting our eyes get on other things and our eyes get on the things of the world.
Peter got his eyes off of Jesus and the storm overwhelmed him. I got to keep my eyes on Jesus even in the midst of a storm. Amen. Judas got his eyes on Mary the worshiper and he got all jealous and bitter over that sacrificial offering. Now, don't get your eyes on people. Don't get your eyes on those that betray the Lord. Don't get your eyes on the storm. Don't get your eyes on prestige. James and John had a mother that got her eyes on prestige and she wanted her boy sitting at the end of the table. I don't care where I sit at the table, as long as I'm at the table of the Lord, I want to be close to Jesus. I wish you'd help me pray, say amen this morning. Amen. I want to get as close as I can to the Lord. I want to know him. As storms come, but I got my eyes on Jesus. I know people backslide, but I got my eyes on Jesus. I know some fall in love with the world, but I got my eyes on Jesus this morning. I come to behold him. I come to behold my Redeemer. I come to behold my Savior. I come to behold the one that reached out and pulled me out of sin this morning. Ah, somebody this morning, take a look at Jesus. I said, take a look at the Lord of glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It is a life of contemplation. A lot of people, they're troubled. And again, I paint with a broad brush. But a lot of people, their mind trouble is what they look at. Even the data is coming in and showing us that the news and the social media platform is creating the phenomenon that either leaves people discouraged or arrogant. I don't want either one of those things. I choose to be happy in Jesus today. I said, I choose to be happy in the Lord. I said, he saved me. I said, he washed me in the blood. And he wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's never been a man like Jesus. Never been a man like the Son of God. He'll show up in a hospital room. Won't he do it? I said, won't he do it? He'll show up at a funeral home. I said, won't he do it? Won't he do it? When your children are sick in the middle of the night, I said, he'll show up in the middle of the living room. I said, won't he do it? He'll show up on the job. He'll show up, my friend, on the side of a road. He'll show up in the break room. I said, won't he do it? He'll show up in the lion's den. He'll show up in the fiery furnace. He'll show up in a prison cell. I said, won't he do it? There's never been a man like Jesus. Never been a man like the Son of God. Amen. Let me pause right now and just let me think about him. I said, let me think about him right now. Let me get a fresh glaze into the glory of God. Oh, hallelujah. I said, gaze into him this morning and he's altogether loved. Lovely. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a life of contemplation. But notice this as well. The Bible said that beholding as in a glass, almost as in a mirror. So it's not only a life of contemplation, it's a life of reflection. Can I tell you this morning, as I preach about beholding and becoming, what you behold, you will become. Let me run it by you again. What you will behold, you will become. Notice how powerful this is. The Bible said, with open face, unveiled face, beholding, gazing into the face of Jesus Christ as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Can I tell you this morning, the Word of God challenges us to keep our minds stayed and steadfast on the Lord. The glory of Jesus. The glory revealed in Jesus. He was God's representation. He was God's perfect image represented in this world. And so when we look at him this morning, Paul went on in the fourth chapter and said, when we look at Jesus, it is a clarifying look, for the veil is taken away. If there's doubt this morning in your life, if there are circumstances in your life that have left you perplexed, I want you to come and look at Jesus. Jesus this morning, it will be a clarifying look. All doubt, all bitterness, amen, all arrogance will be removed. It's a thankful look. Paul said in the fourth chapter, we have received this ministry by mercy. It's a merciful look. When I look at Jesus today, and when I see him, and I see him in his purity, and I see him in his glory, and I see him in his loveliness, but then I see him head up that lonely hill called Calvary. When I see him nailed to that cross, I hear the thunderous nails as they pierce his skin, and they tear his flesh, and they hung him high, and they stretched him wide. But the book already told me that the veil, it was his flesh. And when they ripped him, they were not just crucifying him, but they were opening the veil. That when Jesus died and was put in a borrowed tomb, but when he rose on Easter morning, he opened up the veil. I said he opened up the veil, that whosoever will, that calls on the name of the Lord, the same shall be saved. I said I got saved calling on that name. I said I got healed calling on that name. Why don't somebody shout that name, Jesus? I said shout that name, Jesus. Hallelujah. But the powerful thing about this new covenant is this, as Paul contrasts. In verse number 11, he said Moses' glory was fading. You see, Moses put that veil over his face until the glory of God left him. But Jesus' glory does not fade. It is eternal, and it is an unchanging covenant. Moses' covenant was one that was written in stone. But Jesus' covenant writes upon the tables of our heart. As we gaze upon Jesus, as we behold and reflect the glory of the Lord, God is reaching into our lives and giving us not a table of stone, but a heart of flesh. Moses was a ministration of condemnation. But Paul writes and he said, but Jesus is a ministry of righteousness. We reflect the glory of the Lord. Hear me this morning, friend. It is entirely important to be careful what you behold, because you will reflect what you behold. Trouble with a lot of people nowadays is we don't see Jesus in their life. And the reason we don't see Jesus in their life is because they're not looking at him. They're not viewing him. They're not beholding them. They've got their eyes everywhere else. Stressed out, worried, full of anxiety. That's not the Jesus I know. I said that's not the Jesus I know. The Jesus I know, he didn't die so I'd be halfway saved or three quarters of the way saved. I just read to you in Corinthians, and the verse before said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I said this morning, I am not bound. I am not legalistic. Amen. I am not a Pharisee. Amen. But I am trying in my life to allow the image of God to be radiated into a wicked world. That I've been born again. I've met a man by the name of Jesus, and I'm not what I used to be, but I've been changed by the power of the gospel. Because notice this, thirdly and finally, it is a life of transformation. Because as you are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord we are changed. So while we are reflecting the glory of God, while we are looking into the mirror of God's Word and looking into the life of Jesus, God is changing us. God is transforming us. Can I tell you this morning, God does not want you to leave the same way that you came. He wants to transform you. He wants to change you, but notice this. He wants to change you into the same image. Catch that word. Same image. Same. He wants the same thing out of all of our lives. You see, you don't get to say what's right for you and what's right for me and what's wrong for somebody, but it's the Word of God. Hallelujah. I don't believe in predestination as the Calvinists do. Do you? That's kind of weak. I said, I don't believe in predestination as the Calvinists do. Do you? But I do believe those that are saved, we are predetermined to the image of Jesus Christ. There is one image. It doesn't get to be the image of your church and the image of my church, but if we're blood washed, there is one image. And we're transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That's the problem with the book of Romans, chapter number 1, or the people, not the problem with the book of Romans, but the people in chapter number 1 in the book of Romans. The Bible said they changed the image of the incorruptible God. They changed His image into that which was corruptible of man. They changed the image of God into what they wanted it to be. There's a lot of people trying to change the image of God into what they want it to be. But we don't find that in the counsel of Scripture. What we find in the counsel of Scripture is this: God does not allow you to change His image to fit you, but He changes you to fit His image. Glory. Most of you have a dollar bill this morning in your purse or wallet. We see a lot of George Washington going to church. He's been going to church a long time. I was trying to teach one of my children years ago about money, and Scrabble and Monopoly was the two biggest tools I used to teach them how to do math. They thought we were playing a game. I was teaching math. But we come to the lesson about four quarters is a dollar. Four quarters is a dollar. Two quarters is 50 cents. 50 cents is half a dollar. I quickly learned sometimes a half a dollar, you probably shouldn't use those kind of wordings for a literal thinking five-year-old. Because we were getting ready to go to town, and one of my sons decided to go get George, and what he wanted was not a dollar. What he wanted was half a dollar. And so he took George, and I saved this because it's precious to me, but he ripped George down the middle. And he come out and he said, I'm ready to go. What he wanted was half a dollar. In his mind, he had half a dollar. He was ready to go. But he had changed the image of the currency into what he wanted it to be. How many know this wouldn't have worked if he'd have went to town? I save it, but this would have worked because this is the image that is ordained by our government. Can I tell you, the government of heaven, I said the government of heaven does not recognize the image of Buddha, the image of Hare Krishna, the image of Methuselah. It doesn't recognize the image of a charismatic or the image of a compromiser or the image of a backslider. There's one image. It's the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody ought to shout amen. It's the image of the only begotten Son of God. And that's what God desires to make us. We are changed from image to image. We're changed from glory to glory, from revelation to revelation, or from manifestation to manifestation. What does that mean? God shows us something. He transforms us. We accept it. We become more like Christ. And we live in that manifestation. We live and walk in that revealed truth. But from to glory. Then he comes along as we view him in the mirror. And we get another look. And he reveals and manifests himself. And we allow him to be changed. And so my life of a Christian is a life of transformation. It's a life of growing closer and more to be like Jesus until Jesus comes. But notice the agency here. You don't do it because the preacher said to do it. You don't do it because you got to do that to get on the platform or take leadership. But notice verse number 18 shows us that we are changed into the image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord will change your life. Sir, the Spirit of the Lord, He will deal with that nicotine habit. He will deal with that foul language. He will He'll deal with that bad viewing habit. He'll deal with those tendencies that are ungodly and against Scripture. But if you do it because a preacher said so, it will pass away. That's the fading glory of Moses. But the Spirit of God, when the Spirit of God changes us, He'll do it to where it lasts. He's reaching down into the heart of man. Too many times what we watch is people that come to church, they come to the altar. It's an outward reflection. It's an outward, something that they can change. What we really need is not a reflection of someone else. We need for the glory of God to be in us. In us. That's the wording. As we're changed from image to image, that's the same wording where Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration. You remember the story, don't you? When He was on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus for a brief moment allowed His humanity to subside and the deity and glory of God shone through. That's to be changed. I want to be changed on the inside. I want to be changed in the heart of who I am. That's the same word where we're not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. I said, God, change me today. Make me into the image of Jesus Christ. Woo! But I would be remiss if I failed to remind you there will be one final change. Oh, the trumpet's gonna sound. I said the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up to meet them in the air. It'll be the final change. It'll be the glorious change. I said, church, hold on. I said, let's shout a little while. Let's be faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many give God permission to change your life today? How many are willing to give God permission to change your life? Well, instead of asking what they think, instead of asking somebody else what they think, pick up the mirror of God's Word and view into the glory of Jesus Christ, the image of God. And as you're viewing there, the Spirit of God, oh, the Spirit of God, He's going to deal. He's going to deal with what we say. He's going to deal with what we look at. He's going to deal with where I go. He's going to deal with how I treat people. He's going to deal with how I treat my wife and how I raise my children. He's going to deal with me. You're willing to let God deal with you today? Why don't you stand with me right now, lift your hands, and ask God to meet us at this altar. Hallelujah. Ah, bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name. Whoa, come on, church, let's lift our voice and magnify God. Hallelujah. Whoa, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Hallelujah. Lord, I give you access today. Glory. Lord, whatever you want out of my life, I'm yours, Lord. Before we come to this altar, you're willing to pray that and say, Lord, I'm yours, I'm yours, I'm yours. Hallelujah. Why don't you just lift your hand all over this auditorium? Magnify the Lord. Magnify the Lord. Let the Spirit of God step into your heart. Maybe you've never been saved. Today's a great day to be saved. Give your life to the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Ah, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory. When we come to this altar this morning, we bow before the Lord. Take a look at Jesus. Gaze into the glory of the Lord. View His power and His wonder. As you just ponder Him and magnify Him, the Spirit of the Lord is going to come by. The Spirit of the Lord is going to begin to change your life. If you want to be more like Jesus, can I invite you to this altar right now? Come on, church. Visitors this way.